Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to the episode 17 of the Geocaching Podcast. Today we're going to talk a little bit about how to cache in warmer weather. But first, if you guys want to call in, go ahead and call in 724-444-7444 and the TalkCast ID is 7525. And if you don't have a pin to use, go ahead and put geocache02 on the pin pad. So you can go ahead and get a call here. We have Daryl LeBeaufort on the line again with us. We are co-hosting again today. So Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So today, just a little bit of recap. We've both done some geocaching since the last time we talked. So today I actually hit a cache before work. It was an LPC, I have to admit that. And the log was wet, but I did get the chance then to use my Fisher's Face pen that I got from you guys, and it rocked. I must say it wrote perfectly on the wet log. And I'm so much a fan of the Fisher's Face pens now.
Oh, yeah. You got to love those things. They're great. And, you know, one of the things that we really like about those is we can write, on the side of a tree or whatever because it's that pressurized pen.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it really easy.
Yeah, I was really impressed. It's the first time I got a chance to actually use it in conditions other than just the, you know, normal conditions that, you know, any other pen writes in. But, yeah, it wrote perfectly, and where any other pen would have just tore the paper up, it worked perfect, and I was pretty impressed with that. So,
oh yeah, we love those things. The one problem that I have with it is when you're trying to use it as like a normal pen, I've had a couple of times where it just starts globbing. So, I'll give you that warning.
I'll have to watch out for that next time. So what have you been doing since the last time we talked on the Geocaching Podcast?
Well, Firefly03 and I actually hit our 800th find in our 60th FTF at the same cache, which was the Wagner Park cache last Thursday.
And well, congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Well, we love running into all of our friends at these FTFs, and that's one of the reasons we go. But this one was kind of weird because it was at a lunchtime party kind of thing. You know, I want to say it was like 11:20 or so. So everyone was blasting out for an early lunch to try to find the cache.
And you guys got the FTF.
Yeah, we got a shared FTF, actually, with our friends, Team Legend 4. And I was kind of surprised he made it there as quickly as he did. But he was actually in just the right spot to jump out of the office and make it. So, hey, we love those shared FTFs, so that's the most fun.
Especially when you guys are already friends anyway, and you can tease each other about it. It's fun then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and the best part is I didn't even have a GPS.
Really? How'd you find it then?
I had the Google Maps, and, you know, like we were talking about last time, you know, if you've got that GeoSense and you have an idea of where it is, you don't need that GPS. So I actually walked in, and it was great because he was talking about some issues about, well, it looks like it's further down. I'm like, well, according to mine, it's right here, and I have it in my hand. So before I could figure out where it was, I already had the cache in hand.
But that stinks for him, though, man. If he had his GPS and you found it without yours, I mean, that's kind of a bummer for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, unfortunately, he also gave me some bad news, which is one of our local cashers, Outspoken, was killed in Alabama last Thursday by a drunk driver. So,
ooh.
Kind of put a damper on things, but, you know, our thoughts are with his family.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you friends with Outspoken?
We actually only met him a couple of times, but he was one of those cashers in the area that everyone pretty much had run into. He was in it for a while, and he was a ham operator too, I believe. But a very, very nice guy, pretty well known, but you know, we only ran into him at events occasionally.
Well, hey, Daryl, we actually have a caller on the line today, GeoAddict. So with that, I'm going to welcome GeoAddict to the phone. Welcome, GeoAddict, to the call.
Hi. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Well, I'm here in Chelsea, Michigan.
Oh, hey, you're just around the corner from us.
Yeah. I had my 100th find at your Cachemaniacs launching party.
Oh, yes, very good. Yeah, I knew that name was familiar. So what have you been doing since then?
Well, I'm just hanging out, doing some things around the house and caching a little bit. I'm looking forward to the Midwest Geobash coming up.
Oh, absolutely.
Just doing some caching here and there. Just came back from an event cache down in Sylvania, Ohio. It was called Pooches and Picks in the Park, and it was all cachers with their dogs. So I brought my dog Justice along with me down there.
Well, I think we actually just lost Daryl off the phone, so I'll be waiting for him to actually kick back in and call back into the phone. But that actually sounds like a really fun event. How many finds do you have now, GeoAddict?
As of today, 146. So I'm working my way up towards 200. Like I said, Daryl and W4's and Firefly O3's party, the Cache Maniacs launch party, was my 100th. So that was around my one-year anniversary, only a couple days past it. So that was, I held off and wanted to make that one my 100th find.
Well, that sounds, I'm glad that you were able to get that as your 100th find.
Yeah, there's a lot of podcasts coming out now, so it's hard to find time to catch up on all of them. When I take my dog for a walk, I usually listen to them. But this is the first time I've been able to call in live to the show.
Yeah, that's one of the features that I love about this show is that we can actually have the callers call in live. And since you did that, actually, you were going to be entered into a list to win a GeoCoin at the end of the month.
Right. Yours is the only live podcast out there.
Yep, and that's why we think it's pretty unique. All right, we actually have Daryl's back on the phone again, so welcome back, Daryl. Are you there, Daryl? Hit muted him again. All right. Are you there, Daryl?
Hello.
All right. Okay. Technical difficulties, you got to keep that's the things that you happen when you have a live podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that was kind of weird. It kicked me out, and then I started getting a bunch of error messages every time I tried putting in my PIN, so I just had to call back again.
Well, we are actually going to, on our show today, we're going to actually talk about caching in warmer weather, since it is starting to get warm out today, starting to get warm out since it's, you know, the summer now. And there's lots of things that we need to keep in mind as geocachers to do while we're actually out in caching in the heat. I know some places that's not a huge deal. You know, if you're maybe like in Minnesota or Alaska, that's probably not as much of a big deal as it is if you are in any other place. But for the most part, it actually gets fairly warm, and there's lots of things we need to take into consideration while we're caching in the warm weather. So one of the first things that we want to talk about are the hazards of caching in warm weather. So the first thing is dehydration. And Daryl, what's dehydration?
Well, dehydration, I'm sure we're all fairly familiar with, but it's basically when water is removed from an object, and medically it's the condition where the body doesn't contain enough water to function normally. And this is something that most of us, I'm sure, have experienced at one point or another.
So basically, we don't have enough water to keep our body functioning. So that's something we obviously we don't want to do that. So the other thing is hypothermia, which is an advanced state that's referred to as heat stroke or sunstroke. And it's basically an acute condition which occurs with the body that produces or absorbs more heat than it can dissipate. So basically, your body's making more heat than it can get rid of, and your body temperature will go up, and your heat regulating mechanisms eventually become overwhelmed, and they can't deal with the heat, and the body temperature climbs uncontrollably. And it's a serious medical condition. It's an emergency, and it requires immediate medical attention.
Yeah, and this is basically the opposite of hypothermia. Hyperthermia is you're too hot. Hypothermia is that you're too cold.
So what causes dehydration? Well, I think we talked about that a little bit, not drinking enough water or drinking
diuretics like coffee.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, anything that has caffeine. So, yeah, you typically want to avoid caffeinated beverages, if at all possible, when you're out hiking.
Yeah, I know that when, I mean, I experience that just in my office. When I'm drinking coffee in the morning, I know I have to go to the bathroom a lot more, and it seems like I dry out a lot more when I'm just drinking coffee or caffeine than when I'm drinking water. Is there anything else that besides water that we could maybe drink?
Oh yeah,
think?
And pretty much anything that like sports drinks are especially good because they also replace electrolytes. But pretty much anything that doesn't have caffeine is going to help prevent dehydration. You know, I'm sure there's some exceptions to that, but iced tea is a good example of something, you know, fruit juices and that kind of stuff work very well as well.
So, all right. So hyperthermia, like we just talked about there, is what causes it. Radiation, your body radiates heat to keep you cool, and if the ambient temperature is greater than your body's temperature, you can't radiate that heat away. It works a lot harder when... It's harder for your body to get rid of that if the air temperature is hot and so is your body. It doesn't do a very good job. Just kind of like the back of like a air conditioner or something, the way it cools the air as it's passed through it. If the air outside is fairly warm, it has to work a lot harder too. Same with your body. Conduction also causes hyperthermia. Conduction occurs from hotter objects to cooler objects. So,
for example, when you're walking across a blacktop parking lot, you'll notice that it's much warmer than if you're standing in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all coming from that warm blacktop that's been heated by the sun.
Okay, so I see what you're saying. So if I'm walking across a warm blacktop and I can feel it, definitely it feels hotter. Okay.
Right.
So... evaporation also is a cause of hypothermia too, because sweating is your body's primary method of cooling off. I know it's sometimes a pain when you're sweating and you have to keep wiping things off, but what your body is doing is actually getting rid of your heat. It's actually getting the heat out of you and it's cooling you off. And if you let your body get dehydrated, you won't have the fluid to sweat because it's the water that you're drinking and other stuff that you're drinking that has the fluids to get to sweat.
Right.
If you're not drinking enough, then you won't be able to sweat. So definitely don't let yourself get dehydrated. And I think you'll find, too, that I know I do anyways, that the more I'm sweating, the thirstier I actually get.
Sure.
So
you're using up the fluids that otherwise would be used in your body for other things. So you have to take in more water to compensate for that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I drink more water and I am able to sweat more. So we have to remember to keep drinking water. So, and then direct solar gain, too, is when light energy strikes the surface of a solid object. The energy is converted to heat. Heat absorption from the sun is nature's primary method of making you hot. Dark surfaces absorb more heat than light objects. You'll find that a lot if you go out even just outside at all and you're wearing, say, a black T-shirt, you're going to get a whole lot hotter than if you're wearing a white T-shirt. So if you're outside and you're geocaching, I would definitely recommend wearing a lighter colored shirt, something that's not black, that's not dark. And also, I would recommend wearing a hat.
Oh, yeah. Anything you can do to prevent that sun from hitting your skin, and even a lot of this UV protection will help diminish some of the sun's effects, not for the hypothermia, but, you know, you have other problems with the sun, obviously. But one of the best things to do is that light-colored clothing, and whenever possible, don't go out when the sun is really bright. You know, hit the night caches in early morning and early evening when there's not as much sun and the air is a little cooler.
Mm-hmm. And you have less muggles if you're doing it at night, so that's a positive thing too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and then for dehydration, you know, you want to remember that you should be drinking water about every 5 to 7 minutes or so. And an athlete, during his normal runs or whatever, is usually going through about 28 ounces an hour. So you want to plan on that. I'm sorry, that's probably 28 ounces a day. But you probably want to plan on that for how much water that you're going to want to carry. But one of the big problems is also when you're drinking all that water, make sure you have something replacing those electrolytes, like a sports drink or the electrolyte pills.
So if by just drinking the water, it doesn't replace the electrolytes, and so I need to have something like sports drink or pills. So, okay, I gotcha. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, and especially when you're sweating, that's worse because you're going through so much more fluid, and it's diminishing the electrolytes so much. Now, what are some of the ways that we can tell if we've been suffering from dehydration?
Well, I think the main thing that you're going to notice is that you're going to get thirsty more. You'll find yourself kind of like with that, I guess, cotton mouth type feeling where your mouth is really, really, really dry. That's one of the first things that you're going to notice. And then you're also going to notice that you're urinating a lot less frequently. I know that's kind of gross, and maybe that's a good thing if you're trying to cash, you know, do a lot of cash runs. But no, it's really not a good thing because that's a sign of dehydration. So what else, Daryl, can we look for?
Well, and on that urination less frequently, you know, I know a few people who have tried doing that explicitly and regretted it. So, yeah, you want to make sure to keep hydrated no matter how often you have to stop for the bathroom breaks. But you'll also notice that you'll get some dry skin, which can be very irritating, especially when the bugs are biting. You get fatigued more easily, and you get lightheaded. I know I get that one quite frequently, and it does impede my geosense. There's dizziness and confusion as well.
And that all of those things are not good, especially, well, at all, but especially when you're geocaching and driving and trying to find caches. If you know, you don't want to be confused and dizziness and lightheaded, especially if you're, you know, you're driving or hiking, and especially alone.
Oh yeah.
So,
and we're also over trails that could be treacherous, and it's easy to break a limb, and that's a heck of a lot worse than just being a little bit dizzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely I would, especially if you're going out alone, guys, which isn't good to do, especially in warmer weather. But if you're going out alone, tell someone where you're going to be at. Let them know. Say, hey, Daryl, I'm going out, and I'm going to be in, you know, around this certain area. And if you don't hear back from me by a certain time, you know, this is where I'm going to be at or should be around. That way, in case you do fall and break something or get dehydrated, people know where to find you at.
Yeah, and a cell phone is always a great thing to carry with you. You know,
mm-hmm.
People can try to get a hold of you, and if they can't reach you, then they know there's probably something wrong.
Yeah. Another thing that goes along with the symptoms of dehydration is dry mouth and mucous membranes, which is kind of goes along with the thirst, but also an increased heart rate and breathing. If you find yourself breathing heavy and your heart is hitting, you know, harder, you know, that may be just because you're climbing, you know, the hill to get to your geocache, but it also could be that you're getting dehydrated. Stop, have some water, take a break, find some shade. That's the best thing. One of the best things you can do too is, you know, find some shade. If you're in the sun for a while, get under a tree that you can find some shade. I would also recommend taking your own water along with you, taking lots of water. We talked about drinking lots of water, but you need to take a lot of water too, because you don't know when you're actually going to be able to hit a drinking fountain that's going to be safe for you to drink, or if you're out, you know, those lakes probably aren't real safe to drink the water. So either bring something that you can filter the water with and make it safe to drink, or just go ahead and bring water with you. I know that water is fairly heavy, but you'll be glad you did later on. You won't feel like you're fatigued and lightheaded and thirsty and dehydrating.
Yeah,
so
water is about 8.3 pounds for 1 gallon, but it's better to carry that than to have to try to carry yourself out when you've passed out.
Yeah. Symptoms of hypothermia. Hypothermia, you'll find yourself doing heavy sweating, and paleness of your skin. So if you're with somebody and you see that they're turning pale and they're sweating a lot, it's probably a good thing. They're probably, you know, have some hypothermia. Also, muscle cramps. If they're complaining a lot about muscle cramps, it's a good chance that they're, you know, not just suffering from, you know, finding that long geocache, but also they're being hypothermia. GeoAddict actually has a question. So, GeoAddict, what's your question?
What do you all use to carry water? I know I've heard about these camelback things, or do you just carry water bottles, or how do you handle that?
I actually have a plastic water bottle. It's fairly big. I carry one or two of them with me. Keep them in my backpack. Usually they'll stay fairly cold in my backpack. I have used the camelback, but not for caching. I've used it for bike riding, and those are real helpful because you don't have to stop and take your drink. You can just, you know, drink while you're still hiking.
Those camelbacks are really nice devices and well worth it, but personally, I've never gotten into those. I tend to take water with me in water bottles because it's easily dispensable, and I can pass it off to friends and other folks in our party. But what I have that makes it really nice is this little clip. It's a carabiner that actually slips around the mouth of the bottle, so I just carry it on a belt loop.
Yeah, because the one thing with the camelbacks is you actually have the like straw-type thing. You actually use that in your mouth, and so that's not really appealing to other people that are on the trail with you to be able to drink with. So, yeah,
well,
I would recommend.
The other thing is that one of the things you can do when you're out on the trail and getting overheated is use that water, you know, pour it over your arms and over your neck to assist in cooling. Even though it's warm water, you still get that evaporation effect.
Have either of you ever used, you know, some of those, drinks like Gatorade or Propel or some of those other ones that are supposed to restore electrolytes to your body?
Yeah, I've actually used the Gatorade quite a bit. One of the problems I have with the Gatorade, and a lot of people have the same problem, is that Gatorade actually makes my stomach sick or gives me cramps if I don't cut it with water. So I'll usually add an extra third water to whatever I drink with the Gatorade. How about you?
I usually take water. Usually for me, I've not done a whole lot of trips where I'm out. Very long, but usually where it's very hot, usually I'll pace myself and stop and take a break. So usually I just take water with me.
Yeah, most of the time when I've used the Gatorade, it's when I've been cycling. When I'm hiking, I don't tend to have the problem with the electrolytes like I do when I'm cycling. And, you know, I'm not so much the cycler that I used to be, but I used to go out and do the 30-plus mile rides in, you know, an hour, hour and a half. So I was, you know, fairly into it, fairly hardcore.
Yeah, GeoAddict, what do you do when you're geocaching?
I generally try to take a water bottle, or sometimes I don't go as far as I normally would. If I'm, I might keep an extra water bottle in the car and be relatively close to get back to that. But I think more importantly during the summertime, I'm usually more worried about using sunblock to prevent sunburn and also our ever-present mosquitoes here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of mosquitoes here in Indiana, too.
Well, so, back to the hyperthermia. I think we've gotten through most of the issues that you can run into, but pretty much that telltale sign that it's gotten too late is when you start vomiting, feel nauseous, or fainting. You know, that point, you're pretty much in need of some attention.
Yeah, and that's when it is good to take the people with you. I would recommend that just overall, a general rule is if it is fairly hot and you're going to do caching, make sure to take someone with you. I mean, that's definitely what I would do. If it's going to be real hot and you're hitting more than one or two caches, I would definitely take someone with you so that if one of you two does get hypothermia or dehydration, that you're able to you know, have someone else to help you out. Especially, I mean, if you're fainted, you're not going to be, you know, much use. You're going to need someone else there. So heat stroke, what are the signs and symptoms of heat stroke? All of the above. You're going to find with heat stroke that you're going to have the same things as dehydration and hypothermia, but you're also going to get a headache. So if you're seeing yourself that you're a headache or you're disoriented and maybe confused or extreme sluggishness or fatigue, you're getting heat stroke. Also, if you have hot, dry skin that is flushed but not sweaty, that's definitely a sign of heat stroke. And then seizure, if you're seizing, you're having heat stroke too. So what can we do to remedy all this and keep from having these three things, the dehydration, hypothermia, and heat stroke? I would recommend for dehydration, drink lots of water, replenish your electrolytes, but don't overhydrate. It's definitely important not to overhydrate because there is such thing as water poisoning. And you can die from that too. So, Daryl, tell us a little bit about hypothermia.
Well, hypothermia, the big thing that you want to do is reduce the personal heat production. You know, drop your level of activity. You don't want to be walking as much. You know, take it easy. If at all possible, stop walking and just sit down and cool off. And you want to get out of the sun. Shade is best, or, you know, even better, get in someplace that's a little cooler. And remove clothing that you don't necessarily need, and pour that water over your skin. And if you have something to fan yourself with, that helps too.
With pouring the water over your skin and over your clothes, that's why it also is important to take lots of water with you, because if you're drinking a lot of it to keep from getting dehydrated and hypothermia and heat stroke, you're also going to need some that you can pour on to your skin, which is good to carry with you because, like I said earlier, you may not find water on the trail like you need. So definitely carry lots of water.
Now, when it gets really bad, too, you can start applying ice packs or chemical cold packs. It's not something that you're probably going to be hiking with, but you'll want to have some of that kind of stuff in the car if you need to, because you apply those to the groin and the armpit, and that really cools you down quickly so that if you do have hypothermia, it will bring you back fairly well.
Yeah, and another thing you can do is, like you said, lie down in a cool area, rest, and hydrate if needed to recharge your electrolytes to get rid of the hypothermia. It all comes back to water. So with heat stroke, just like the heat stroke symptoms are all of the above, you know, all of the same symptoms from hypothermia and dehydration, same thing with the remedies. The heat stroke is same as the hypothermia and the dehydration, but you're also going to want to get medical attention right away. So if you can, you know, call the medical, get right to a hospital so that they can treat you for heat stroke. Yeah, all of the stuff that we today found we found it from a couple different articles, and we'll actually post these articles in the show notes that can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. So you can take a look at yourself, because we didn't mention all of the stuff, but we had a couple good articles that we found, and that they will you'll be able to actually see, you know, read the same stuff, because we, like I said, we didn't mention everything that can be found in the articles, but it was, yeah, they were really good articles. Again, that our show notes are at geocachingpodcast.info. You'll also find the links and everything that we talked about. Also, you'll find the feeds where you can subscribe to this and all that stuff like that. So, Daryl, do you have any closing final thoughts about the heat caching in warmer weather?
Yeah, well, a lot of this is still fairly relative and something that you're going to have to find yourself. And conditioning really helps. So if you want to go out and do a lot of caching during the summer, make sure that you get out a little bit more each time, and make sure to not push it. And if you start feeling yourself getting to the point that you're dehydrated or that you think you might be getting hyperthermia, you know, cut it back and take it easy and, you know, take care of yourself. It's not worth the risk.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, geocaching is fun and all, and it can be competitive, but it's not worth, you know, dying or fainting or having permanent damage due to the heat. And it's really easy to sometimes forget about these things if you're caught up in the moment of caching. It's really easy to forget that you're getting, you know, maybe getting dizzy and kind of just keep pushing on. But definitely it's important to remember these things. And like Daryl said, it's not worth doing, you know, this stuff. The geocaching can wait. You'll always be able to geocache. You may not be able to if you get over hot. So keep that in mind as you go geocaching. Next week, I actually want to we're actually going to be doing the show on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. It's mine and my wife's anniversary. So our third anniversary. So we actually will not be doing this show on Tuesday because we need to. We're gonna get out and actually spend some time together on Tuesday night. So put it on your calendars that next week we'll be doing this show on Wednesday and at 9 o'clock, same time. But it'll be Wednesday. So remember too that if you listen live on this show during the month of June, you'll be entered into a contest to win the I Am Frog 2002's GeoCoin, which is a really cool coin. I saw it, pictures of it. Have you seen it, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, I've seen some photos of it, but I haven't actually seen anything that's really good yet, so I'm anxious to see that thing in person.
He actually is going to be sending it to me. He said he'd put it in the mail tomorrow, so I should be getting it in my hands soon to actually take a look at it. So I'm interested to see it, so...
Yeah, I'm dying to get my hands on one. And, you know, congratulations to you and your wife as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been a blast. We love it, and we love going geocaching together. It's one of the things we love doing. It's a family, and it's just one of those things that you can do and spend time together, and the whole family can get behind, and we love doing it together. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll hit a geocache or two on Tuesday night.
Now that's the kind of anniversary that I know Firefly would love.
So, well, yeah, we're excited and we're glad that we've you know made it the 3 years so far and we just can't wait. So, GeoEdit just put a note in, and this is one of the great things, guys, about being live too is. Not only do you have the opportunity to call in live, but you also have you're like in a text window, like a chat window, and you can chat. And so he said that it's great that your spouse is a geocacher. So thanks, GeoAddict, and thanks again for calling in. We appreciate when people call in and ask us questions and like to give us input too. So thanks again for calling in today, GeoAddict. If you remember, guys, too, if you're on the trail, you want to put our phone number in your phones. We do have a voicemail line you can call. It's 206-350-3GPS, 206-350-3GPS. You can call and leave us voicemail messages. We can play them on the show. So also, we still have our co-hosting opportunity available. Daryl is our fill-in co-host. I really enjoy having him as a co-host. But the it's still open if you want to send in co-host applications, and I say that with in parentheses, but I really mean is just kind of call the number, the 206-350-3GPS, give us a little shot of what you got, see how you sound on there, and so we can do that because we really want to have a host on the show. It's a lot more fun to be able to banter around with them and just be able to toss things back and forth. So that is still open, and with that, I am actually want to show you guys another podcast that I heard about, so just sit back and here's a promotion for that.
Hello, fellow cachers. This is Bass Chaz, your host for the Granite State Geocachers Radio Podcast, the podcast all about geocaching in and around the state of New Hampshire and around the world. And I'm inviting you to come join us and this crowd here at gsgcradio.com. There you'll find links to our forum so you can participate, an area to chat, and much more. Email me at gsgcradio@gmail.com. Come join the fun.
All right, so that was Bass Chaz's promotion for his his podcast. There's lots of new podcasts out. So with that, I look forward to seeing you guys Wednesday. Go ahead and tell your friends. Hit up our show notes so you can see all of the links for today, the stuff that we talked about today. Once again, that's at geocachingpodcast.info. And tell your friends about it, because that way we can have more listeners, and they can also be entered in this contest to win the GeoCoin if they listen live this month. So with that, thanks for listening, guys, and get out, go get them. Happy caching. Some of the music on the show today was provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.